Let's give him a good hand.
Woo!
Thank you, Jesus. Now let's lift our hands and honor to the Lord, the Holy Spirit that's here. He's the one that is going to help us. Praise God. Father, we lift up our hands to you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Yes. Lord God, stretch forth your hand that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power, gifts, and manifestations, Lord God. The gift of faith and the gift of healings and working of miracles, Father. May you begin to descend in a powerful way that anyone here that's having an outstanding problem, may they be healed, relieved of their illnesses or distresses. And Father, we thank you for the gift of seeing and knowing. Father, we pray that you would stretch forth your hand continually upon us, that you would put your hand upon me tonight and these people, that our hearts will be open, Lord God, that our eyes would see into the realm of the Spirit, Lord, that we would understand and know things intuitively by the Holy Spirit who indwells us, and he gives us wisdom, and he gives us direction, and he begins to tell us to go to the left or to the right or to stay or to go this way or that way or to be cautious or to stop or to move ahead quickly. Father, we thank you for his moving tonight, and he's stirring the hearts and minds of the people to begin to sense a real moving of the Spirit, and they're preparing themselves, Father God, and that they'll be aware of the enemy's attack, and they'll prepare themselves, and they'll know how to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you stretch forth your hand, Lord God, that may my preaching and teaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and a power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let there be a seeing and a knowing, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. But right now, we just want to thank you. We just want to look to you, Lord. You are the one. Holy Spirit, you are the one. You are the one that we seek, Lord God. That we, you are the one that we want right now, Lord. We discern, and we want you more than ever, Lord. More. We are so hungry as the deer pants, your word says, as the deer pants for the waters, Lord. So does my soul, Father God, hungers after you, Lord. You said they that will begin to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they will be filled. Thank you, Lord. As Peter preached the gospel, as Peter preached the word of God, the hungry hearts were filled with the Spirit of God, and they began to prophesy. Thank you for the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for the demonstrations of the Spirit of God. And let people understand and know that we are in your presence, that there is someone even greater than us, Father. Oh, he is the Holy One of God, the one that rests upon us, that one that's in us when we receive you, Lord. He is greater than all the devils that would come against us. He's the one that's going to put us over. He's the one that's going to take charge when the enemy comes, Father God. He'll show us the way out. Then he will never leave us or forsake us, Lord God. We are not alone. We are never alone. Thank you. Thank you. And so we lift our hands in adoration and praise and understanding, Lord, that you are the awesome God, the mighty God, the one, oh, the one who is glorified, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you for long life. Thank you for provision, Lord. Thank you for direction. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just sense the Lord stirring people, stirring the hearts and minds of the people. Thank you, Jesus, for the Spirit of might. Thank you, Lord, that you'll do something even greater tonight for the people of God. Thank you, Lord. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. May the supernatural God manifest his glorious presence. Thank you, Lord, that many will begin to avoid situations avoid disaster, avoid problems that might baffle them. Things that would baffle them now are so simple, so easy. The problem that seems so insurmountable. Is there anything too hard for me, says the Lord? Is there anything difficult for me to solve? And people have said, well, it's a hard thing. Oh, the diagnosis says, oh, this and that. And oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. It's been this way for all my life. It's been that way for so long. How can God do anything? But God says there's nothing too difficult. There's nothing too hard for me. And if you just begin to get in the realm of the Spirit, beginning to get into Word, and begin to shout, begin to open your mouth, and begin to meditate and say those things that God has put in your heart, it's going to put you over. It's going to put you over as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and begin to dance and begin to laugh. And it might not be because you enjoy, you're laughing gleefully, but it'll be by faith. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. See those things. See them happening. See yourself well. See yourself with the money. See yourself with that goal achieved. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands up and give the praise. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost is here tonight. Hallelujah. He is doing something in people's lives right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We honor your presence. We honor you, Lord. Oh, this is a magnificence of the Lord. Thank you for the presence of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. 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 I see someone suddenly, the Lord is going to speak to you in your house. As you begin to think in on the Lord, and then suddenly, you'll be shaken. You'll be shaken, not because of bad news, but because of it was so easy. It was there all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It is easy when you get over the realm of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And amen. I want us to lift our heads one more time, please. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God. Thank you for His holy presence, Lord. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. I was spending the time in the Lord. I've been spending time in the Lord lots over the last little while, at night, in the morning time, and afternoon, spending all my time praying in the Holy Spirit, asking for direction, asking God questions about things that I might have about the ministry, about the healing ministry that God has given me, and what I should do about that ministry and the traveling ministry that He's put on my heart lately, and the growth of the church and the growth of the people inwardly, and the sensitivity and different things. And the Lord began to deal with me on different things, and hearts are being stirred, and there's pastors and teachers I know that are, they want the supernatural, and yet they're being held back by people in their church, and boards and leaders, other leaders, and they're not getting what they're supposed to be. And God wants the supernatural. The Lord began to speak to me a number of years ago now, and you know, for God, a number of years ago is just like seconds ago. For us, it's longer. 20 years for God is like, you know, wink, blink. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, let every service, that's what He said to me, let every service be a supernatural encounter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what it is. And people are starving for the supernatural. They're going to horoscopes. They're going to ceremonies and different kind of things. I talked to somebody yesterday for 2.5 hours in here in my office. They experienced the supernatural since they were little babies, and yet it was not God. It was supernatural. Yes, it was spiritual activity, but it was not God. It was something else. Praise God. And everything spiritual that's going on, every activity is not always God, because there are other spirits. There are other spirits that are deceiving people, and anything that puts people in fear, anything that puts people in bondage. But praise God, the Holy Ghost puts you in freedom, praise the Lord. Amen. There's joy in there. There's freedom from fears and that kind of thing. But I want to see this happening in our midst. And the Lord promised that's going to happen. Hallelujah. He's going to visit your children. He's going to visit you. Praise the Lord. Amen. No need to be afraid of Donald Trump or anybody else. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Our topic tonight is, if we'll ever get into it, it's going to be in the area of the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual growth or the development of the human spirit, those three areas. The gifts of the Spirit, spiritual growth, and specifically the development of the human spirit. And I entitled this message tonight, I'm not sure if it's going to be the best title, but it'll be good for now. It's going to be called Having a Heart of Discernment. Having a Heart of Discernment. My introduction is going to be very simple, and that is, in dealing, we are to deal in this life with spiritual powers. And the Bible says that we are dealing with spiritual forces. And you cannot deal with what you cannot see. And God will help us. And the Spirit of God will help us. He's upon us. And the Bible says, having done all to stand. And we need to situate ourselves to stand against things. So when we talk about the discerning of spirits, we're talking about the discerning of the human spirit specifically. We're talking about discernment of the human spirit. And we're not talking about the gift of discernment. No one has the gift of discernment. The Bible talks about discerning of spirits. Some people say, I have the gift of discernment. Well, there's no one has that gift. But the Holy Spirit can just help discern certain things in our lives. And when we talk about discernment, we are talking about one of the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. And we'll read that in a moment. And one of the gifts in there talks about discernment. And the gift of discernment, which comes by the Holy Spirit, is a gift that God will use people, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, anyone he wants to, as he wills, not as we wish. And it's not for gambling or anything like that, to pick the numbers and choose things like that. But it's to help people that are in trouble. And so discerning of spirits is actually involves three areas of spirits. Number one, it involves the activity of demonic powers, and we are to discern that. We're not to be afraid of demons.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Anybody afraid of demons? Well, if you are, you need to learn your place. You have authority over all devils.
Amen.
Amen? You're not to be afraid of any devil. And the Bible talks about that Jesus defeated all spirits. And when he raised from the dead, Jesus rose from the dead. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, when God gave Paul and he spoke through Paul in a prayer. There's two prayers in the book of Ephesians. The first prayer is found in the first chapter, verse 16 to 22. Then in chapter 3, verse 16 to, I think 20 or something, 20, 21, or I think it's 21. There's two prayers, what's called the Pauline prayers or apostolic prayers. It's actually a Pauline prayer because Paul actually wrote that and the Spirit of God allowed him or encouraged him or, you know, moved upon him to write those prayers. And that prayer reveals to us our position. That prayer reveals to us who we are in God's sight.
Amen.
God, you know, he had a plan for us. The Bible talks about that, chapter 1, verse 4, that God already had a plan. Chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that he had a good plan. How many people know that God always plans something good? So anything that happens to you bad is not of God. So in that prayer, he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, and he's talking about your spirit, your human spirit, that you're born again human spirit. He says, I pray that your eyes of your spirit, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. And he begins to reveal what he wants us to be enlightened about. First of all, he said that you might be enlightened to know, who you are in Christ. You know, the Bible reveals that there's 131 or so verses of the Bible and scripture verses talks about who you are in him, with him, through him. You know, those scriptures in there, the 131 or 32 verses of scripture in there that tell us who we are. God wants us to know. I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. In other words, what Jesus was called to do and what he's doing through his church.
Amen.
He wants us to know the hope of his calling and the glorious riches of his inheritance for the saints. We have an inheritance. We got things that belong to us, and God wants us to know what they are. And one of the gifts, one of the things that belong to us are the gifts of the Spirit that belongs to us if we need them. He wants us to know that what belongs to us. And so we need to understand, if we don't, I sat with a pastor today at Chapters. And he called me up. I went sat with him, and he talked about, we kind of talked about things. You know, people just like, pastors sometimes just like to meet. And we talked about, we need the supernatural to operate in the church. And so I'm going to tell you why we need that, because, there's this deceiving spirits in the world. And sometimes operate through people, even unknowingly through themselves, that they don't even know that they're being motivated by an evil spirit. Now, you don't have to be afraid of them, because they can tell you things that you won't even know that's not from God. You got to ask yourself, is that coming from God, or is that coming from another source? And so there are some things about our own lives, our own motives, we don't always know about, and yet God can reveal to your own heart if that's something that he wants you to do, if it's right or wrong, or whatever. And so God wants us to know some things specifically about how to help the kingdom of God. And so it's not the gift of discernment. So the three main areas that in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, talks about there are nine gifts of the Spirit, and they're divided up in three areas. And they, there's the vocal gifts, and there's they say something. There's the revelation gifts, the gifts of seeing and knowing, the gifts to know things, to see things, in the revelation. There's the power gifts, the gifts that do something. There's the working of miracles and gifts of faith and gifts of healing. And they're we look at them, they're divided in different areas. Later on, they're administrations and operations, so forth. So when we look at them, we see them in a way that when someone has these giftings, you can't just pretend you got them. You can't pretend you do a miracle. has to be an operation of God. Amen. You can't have a gift of faith and believe something spectacular. God has to add that onto you. There's a gift of faith. And so in a measure, God can give you the gift of faith to believe something that you never had scripture on, in a sense. Like, for instance, for myself, God told me I was a pastor. I didn't have 14 scriptures to prove to myself I was a pastor. God dropped it into me. While I was alone in Kenora, Ontario, I was just working there, and I had a visitation from the Holy Spirit. He came to visit me. The Holy Spirit wants to visit you. I was there in my room, and the Spirit of God came there, and all of a sudden, faith came into me. Not just regular, my own regular faith, but a faith that came into me that I can do anything he told me to do. You know what I'm talking about? And he came into me, and he said to me, I began to know that I can just do anything that God told me to do. I don't know if you ever experienced that in a measure, but I have on several occasions. For instance, I had boldness to tell people, stand up, God's going to fill you right now with the Spirit. And they start speaking in tongues, just like that. I didn't have to show them scripture. I didn't have to take them step by step. Just point at them and say, bang, and they receive. That's the working of miracles, in a measure. And I believe that I was listening to Brother Kenneth Hagin, Dr. Hagin, the president of our school a number of years ago. He said in these last days there will be an increase of the the power gifts that we need them, and that the church needs to begin to all together, not just the pastor or just leadership, but everyone needs to begin to want to see the activity of those power gifts. Because some people will not be healed from cancer if we don't have these power gifts in operation, because you don't have time to teach them. Because if you try to teach them, they won't listen to you because they're in so much pain, they can't hear you. There's some people that have demon powers working in their lives that are in bondage. They will not be free unless we have this kind of power and manifestation and supernatural prayer going on. Amen. You know, how many people know there's a price to pay?
Amen.
You know, things don't just happen because you want to eat a popsicle stick and thank God, say, bless him, Lord. He's got three demons. No, you got to begin to search for God and be hungry after the things of God. Hallelujah. If that was the case, you'd all be, and all of us be doing it right now. Praise the Lord. But there's a prophetic spirit tonight in this room. God wants to speak to people. And God wants us to know things. In Deuteronomy 29, the Amplified Bible says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things which are revealed and disclosed belong to us and to our children forever, so that we may do those words of the law. There are secret things that God wants to know. You know, there are some things that God knows. He knows some things, but he doesn't tell us everything.
Amen.
There's some things he tells us. I don't know, is he telling everybody everything here? He only tells us certain things that we need to know. And yet there's some of us are praying for things. We want to know things about people and situations and conditions that God, you know, maybe it's about your family, a member, and you've been seeking God about it and asking questions. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And you're getting frustrated. I'm not asking for hands, but I'm just going to ask you: Has anybody experienced that? You know, you can either say yes or no in your heart, but there are things that we are all searching for. I'm searching for. I'm hungry. I'm hungry not just for a sandwich or something, but I'm hungry for the Spirit. I'm hungry for the things of God more than ever. Because we cannot touch this world without God. You know, I came into the ministry supernaturally. And I'm not going to operate in this just because I read the Bible every once in a while. It's got to be something extra. We got to get to do things. So, secret things belong to the Lord, but there are some things he'll disclose to us that belong to us. And God wants us to know. So there are three spiritual areas that we have to discern. Number one is demonic activity. Secondly, it's the moving of the Spirit and what he says and what he wants to do. And thirdly, it's discerning of human hearts, the condition of people's hearts, and what they need. Not everybody's heart's right with God. There's some people are in different things because they want something from you. Their motives are not pure. And we can see this all over the Bible. So we need to have this discernment working in our own lives, not necessarily the gift of discernment, but the ability to discern things by beginning to do certain things so that we can be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So there's some things that you know in your head that are actually a hindrance for God moving in your life because you're depending on what you know because you think you know everything. But God knows everything. I use this illustration. I talk about this lots of times because it doesn't make sense to me. It never made sense to me, but it's been working for me, and that is the tithe. Now, some people might have trouble with this. I'm not looking at any person because I don't check your tithe, okay? But if I want to, I could. And over the years, you know, people have a problem with this. They say, well, how could this ever be if God says, you know, to do this? Yeah, you have to do it by faith, first of all, and that you have to love God to want to do whatever he wants you to do. God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll follow me what I said. So people say, well, how could this thing work? How can I give 10% and still increase? And how can I actually stay afloat and pay my bills? It has to be by faith. It has to be by the Spirit. Amen? You know, so it has to be. So each of us, we have a certain level of faith. And I tell people out there, don't tithe because you're trying to impress me or somebody else. Do it because you believe God. Until you come to the place where you trust God. Now, in the meantime, we're going to still talk about it and still preach on it. Now you do what you want to do. Amen. It's like I'm going to preach about prayers as much as I can. And you don't have to pray if you don't want to, but I'm going to still preach about it and pray and do those things. Amen. So, you know, as that's the way it is, you have to do this. So we have to be able to, some things don't make sense, but they, to your mind, and it's been a hindrance to you to follow God. But God wants to get stuff out of your spirit over to reveal it to your, enlighten your mind and to begin to show you things that he needs to show you. So he can reveal even to yourself, if you get honest, that maybe there's some things in your heart that's not right. Your own heart. First of all, if you're going to try to discern things, let's start with ourselves and discern our own motives. Are you here? Like, we got to discern our own self and say, you know what? Hey, my heart's not right in that area there. I want to serve God. I want to love God. Am I doing this because I want to gain something or with someone or whatever? Are you doing it? Are you doing something because you want to look for praise? And if you're, I remember being in Bible school and Keith Moore told us, if you're doing something, if somebody doesn't thank you, ever thank you, does that get you mad? If it does, you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. You're looking for self-esteem, something with your self-esteem. And you have to do it. And that's why people get mad working in the ministry, because they're not really doing it for God. They're doing it for themselves. And most of the time, Brother Higgin used to teach us, he said that people cry about a lot of stuff. It's not because they're crying about them. They're crying about how hurt they are. And so, we need to recognize our own heart, our own condition, our own lives. And so if we get honest before God, we can know some things. So what may appear right in your life or someone's life might not be right. Or what feels right might not be the right thing. So this gift of discernment is not the gift of suspicion, that we're suspecting everybody is doing something wrong or has the wrong motive. We need to be able to understand. So let's go to another scripture here. God wants to reveal things to us, but how does he do it? Notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. I'm going to read the King James Version here. It says, But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. That's the spirit of man, that's your inward man. The things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's how he does it. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. How does he do that? He does it when we pray in the Spirit. He reveals mysteries to you when you pray in tongues. The best way to get into the Spirit is to learn how to pray in tongues. The Bible says, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. And there are several scriptures that tell us that when you start to do this, which your mind has no activity involved in it, it's you're talking to God through your spirit. And that's why what gets to people, they don't speak in tongues, because their mind is all, they trust their mind more than anything else. You got to have a heart for God, right? I remember searching for 1 month. I said, God, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me, I'm going to pray for 1 month every night. So I prayed every night. I had very limited understanding about it. And I began to pray. And God began to reveal that to me and got it over to me. I walked in church one Sunday morning. A guest speaker, a pastor, Benny Hinn's actually pastor, over here came to speak one day. And I'm sitting in the second row. He came over to point over to me. He said, young man, you've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when he said that, my heart jumped up, just like when Mary's heart leaped. And I didn't know I could do that. My spirit leaped, and there was such a big amen in me. And he said, come back tonight, you'll be filled. So I came back that night, and I got filled. But I not only did I get filled with the Spirit, but I went out into the spiritual realm. The whole church disappeared while I was in church. When Brother Hagin speaks of the time when he said, I'm preaching one Sunday morning. I'm just teaching the Bible one Sunday morning. And suddenly, I'm off into the spiritual realm. I'm over somewhere else. And I come back, and I caught the last part where I was closing my sermon. And he had different experiences like that. I know what it's like to go in the Spirit. I'm ready to take off on some other things. The Spirit of God is showing me things that He's not finished with me. Just because I had a few tastes of some things, I'm going to be getting more.
Amen.
And what He's got in store for me is not going to be because, it's got to be because of spiritual discernment and power. And He wants all of us to hunger. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says that we should all hunger after spiritual activity of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
His ways and His moving.
Amen.
Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry.
Amen.
Not for sausages and pancakes, but hungry for this moving of the Spirit. So he'll do it by, he revealed things by His Spirit. It says it right here. And you got to take time in prayer. We see over here in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4, it says, now there was a church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. And He named Barnabas and Simeon. And a number of other, and the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas. God began to reveal something to them while they were worshiping God. I was worshiping God. My wife, I came home for lunch one day, and I told my wife, I'm going to go in the back office to worship and just to spend some time while you're getting lunch ready. Call me. And so I was in there, and I'm praying about certain things, you know. Suddenly, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go to Tulsa. Go right now. Like, right now? What are you talking about right now? And so, and I just kept praying. Oh, shaka, praying about something else. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time. It's like over here. Come unto me. Go to Tulsa. And this third time, I knew it was God. Because I had that experience before with casting out a devil from someone. I had the same experience. The Lord said to me, go to Tulsa. I didn't have any money. The church didn't have any money. I didn't have any money in the bank. I told my wife, we're going to Tulsa. He said, we're going to Tulsa? Are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. She said, okay. So she trusts me because the Lord showed me some things before to tell her, to show her that I heard from God a number of other times. Some husbands wouldn't have that experience because they never, the Lord never led them to show their wife that they're being led by God. So you have to show your wife that, you're worthy of to be trusted. So we went. We didn't have any money, and the Lord provided for us. If I didn't have that supernatural experience, I couldn't have done that. I just couldn't have done it because I couldn't believe, because if He said so, then He's going to provide. So, well, how did that happen? Was I having a party with my friends and the Lord spoke to me? No, it was in the time of prayer. Just like these disciples ministering to God. I was just ministering to God, telling Him how much I loved Him and praying about other things and helping people in my prayer time. And He told me what to do about another issue I wasn't even thinking about. And so I was walking over here. I was walking down the street, and I'd always admired this building before it ever was Elam Church. I told the Lord, I'm interested in that church, and I didn't have any money. So I got walked in the area. I said, you know, it'd be nice to have that building. So I came by here, and then Pastor John bought the building. I didn't know they were buying that building. I didn't know it was for sale. They bought the building. I walked by there and said, that's my building, Lord. I wanted that building. How come I couldn't have that building? Well, how come they're in that building? Well, here we are now. But the Lord told me as I was walking by over here. He said, if you just go ahead and claim that building, it's going to be yours. I said, okay. And with a little bit of doubt in my mind, I said, okay, I'll receive that in the name of Jesus. I said, that building is my building. I went to a prayer meeting over here at the pastor's prayer meeting, and the pastor's sitting there. He said, I'm selling my building. I said, I'll buy it from you. I didn't have any money. I didn't. I said, I'll buy the building from you. And he said, okay. He was really open to it, and so we bought the building. And this is how things happen in their spiritual realm. You might not see like it's normal. These are not normal things. You don't buy buildings without any money. You're supposed to have money to go to Tulsa, to go to university or school away from you. You got to have money. This is not normal. You don't buy a property for different things. And so the Lord leading, I know God's leading a lot of you in different ways. So he's going to lead you by his Spirit. Secondly, he's going to lead you when you spend time talking to him in your prayer time. And he's going to lead you when you pray in the Spirit and talk to him in the Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, he says that the Holy Spirit, if you read verses 7 to 15, he said, I'm going to send somebody just like me. And he's going to show you things to come. He's going to testify about me. Yeah. And he began to tell them the Spirit of truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He'll show you whether it's going to be a tough time or not a tough time. When the Lord begins to show you supernaturally about the future, it's usually something that's going to be very difficult for you ahead of you. Yeah. If you look in the Bible, you'll see these illustrations in the Bible time and time again that God is not going to show you anything he doesn't need to show you because he knows you have the word of faith to stand on. And he doesn't have to show you things unless he has to.
Right.
And some people keep searching for things. Show me a sign. Show me a vision. Give me a cloud. I want a voice. Send somebody to prophesy to me. They're asking for all these things. When God says to you, just go ahead and obey my voice.
Amen.
So obey my word that you've read 1,000 times. And I remember listening to Brother Hagin. I listened to an old man of God that's been learned in the things of the Spirit. He said, I often go by what God doesn't say when I'm looking for something as much as what he does say to me. If he doesn't stop you or give you a signal on the inside, don't do this or don't do that, then you go right ahead and do what you know from here. He said, well, that's not good enough. Well, it has to be. Because you have to walk by faith, not by sight. So he'll show you different things as you wait on God. And as you wait on God, spend time waiting on God. Just sitting in his presence. Don't ask him anything. Just say, Lord, I want to hang around with you and just worship you. And pray. Pray when you feel like you need to pray and talk to God and say, God, this is an area. I tell God, just like I'm talking to you right now, I had to talk to God. I said, this is bothering me. I don't say, oh, thou knowest, Lord. We don't act like that in prayer. We don't act like that. You just talk to God just the way you talk to your friend and tell him. But you need to worship the Father. And so wait on God. Get into the Spirit through praying in tongues. He's going to talk to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, that's including you. Howbeit in the Spirit, notice that, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is secrets. The Bible says there's some secrets that's going to be revealed to you. We read verse, Numbers 29:29. There's some secrets that God has that he knows that he wants to get over to you. But it can only happen if you spend that time and you start praying in the Spirit and start trusting that God will give you things. And he, you know, ask him. Like, it's going to take some time for us to practice and know. So pray for interpretation, because the Bible says he that speaketh an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. 14:13. So Lord, if he does, thank God. If he doesn't, then still thank him, because you already know some things. Carry on with what you know. Start rejoicing in what you know. Thank God. I have the answer. The Lord shows me in his word. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Thank you. You meet every one of my needs. And you said in your word that the house of the righteous shall stand. I know it doesn't look good in my family right now, but I thank you, Lord. The house of the righteous. I'm a righteous man. Jesus made me righteous by his precious blood. And I'm righteous. Devil, you're a liar. Huh? And so we fight back. You don't tell. Don't let the devil intimidate you. I look at the devil right in the eye and say, you're not going to have this. You don't have the last word. You got to know your authority. Talk to him like he needs to be talking to. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. Now testify. Amen. 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 Testify. Tell him what the Lord has done. Tell him that he's overcome everything. Tell him that the devils are under his feet and we're sitting with Jesus in the realms of the heavenlies. Amen. Amen? Jesus picked his apostles after spending time in prayer, the Bible says. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16, the Bible says that Jesus spent a whole night in prayer, and then he picked the 12 people for his ministry. Something as important as shaking the world, getting these people on his team, was important to God and him. So he spent time and he got that instruction. This one, take that one, take that one, take this one. Jesus knew. So, my text for tonight is John chapter 2, verse 24, 25. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. It tells us that Jesus was able to read hearts. He knew about man. The Bible says, the Amplified says, but Jesus, for his part, did not trust himself to them, to men. Because he knew all men, he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man's. Man needed no evidence from anyone about men, for he knew what was in human nature. He could read men's hearts. Do you think that God could read human hearts? Sure he can. And by his Spirit in you, you can be able to read people's hearts if you stick and follow God and know certain things. As we mentioned to you, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, there's one of the gifts of the Spirit in there called discerning of spirit. And we read Deuteronomy 29:29. So there's, as we kind of close out this evening, we need to understand there is a great need for discernment in all our lives. There's a great discernment that's needed in the church to get rid of things that the world is trying to come in, the world influence trying to come in through people. And we got to get, there's a guy by the name of Jacob, over in the Genesis 27, 22 to 25, the Bible says that this man, Jacob, he made a little pact with his mom, and they deceived their dad, Isaac, in the blessing. but he didn't know. The man, his dad, began to bless him. The guy was in disguise. He said, it sounds like Esau, but it sounds like Jacob. His mother made some hairy mitts. And he touched that hairy mitt. He said, oh, his hands, he's a hairy guy. Like one was hairy, one was not. It's like it was for me and one of the, you know, maybe what a hairiest apostle here. And so he said, hey, he feels like my oldest son. So he blesses him. And the guy said he couldn't see. The Bible said he couldn't see very well. So, you know, we need to have discernment. This was going the right way, but it didn't. He says the voice, this is the voice of Jacob, but the hand of Esau. He did not recognize Jacob because Jacob's hands was hairy like Esau's. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. But are you really my son Esau? He said. He said, yeah. That's what he said. Guy's a liar. And he took that blessing. You're not gonna let anybody. There's a man by the name of Nehemiah, the prophet. The Bible says that God told him to go build a wall. Over in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says that he was building the wall. He had all kinds of opposition from different people. And those two guys were trying to do something to destroy the plan and not make this come to pass that God told Nehemiah to go and rebuild the wall. But these two guys, Sanballat and what's his name? Tobiah? Tobias over here, Tobias. Yeah, so Tobiah failed, you know, so they were trying to stop this thing, but Nehemiah, these guys, they tried everything, and then they sent this mercenary, but Nehemiah discerned this guy wasn't, what he was saying wasn't true. He had discernment to say, you know what, this guy is saying that these guys sent somebody to kill me? I don't trust this guy. He said to go into the temple. I think he wanted to kill him in there, right? Go over there and hide over there. But this guy knew. So he says in there, that verse 12, and lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. But he pronounced this prophecy against me, and Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. So he knew by the Spirit of God that this guy was hired to do this stuff. So we need to have this kind of discernment from God. And then we see here in Jeremiah 28, verse 15 to 17, there was a prophet, a false prophet by the name of Hananiah, and he begins to prophesy, there's good things going to happen. The enemy is not going to come here and destroy this place and take away. And, you know, he began to prophesy error. And so Jeremiah begins to make that discernment. He said in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 15, he said, then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah the prophet, hear ye, Hananiah, Lord had not sent you. But though you make the people to trust a lie, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah and the prophet died that same year, the 7 months. We need to discern things. If somebody prophesies to you, you ought to know. If some prophet comes by, even if he is a big-time prophet, if he says something to you, you ought to know for sure if it's God or not. You know, like you ought to know. You got it's your part. You have to judge whether or not that's true or not. Yeah. If somebody doesn't want to judge, doesn't want their prophecy to be judged, then forget about them. Everybody's prophecy has to be judged. All of us. There's also another situation where Elisha discerns his servant's heart. Over there in the chapter. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 19 to 27. We're not going to read the whole thing, but the whole story goes like this, that this Elisha, Naaman came to him to get healed. And so when he got healed, he wanted to give the prophet some gifts. The prophet said, no, I don't want any gifts. But then his ministry helps. Heard all that? He said, I want to get in on this. Sounds like a good deal. I could take part of this stuff. So he after he was dismissed everybody, that Naaman left with all his stuff. And that guy went after, Gehazi went after Naaman, his chariot, and caught up to him and said, you know what? Hey, listen, my master sent me. He said, two young prophets came by. They need some clothes and some cash. They said, oh, Naaman was so happy. He's healed. He used to have leprosy. He said, okay. He gave him the clothing and gave him all the money. And when he got home, the master said, Elisha said, Gehazi, where have you been? And he says, nowhere, my master. And Gehazi found Gehazi's heart. And the prophet said, how come when my spirit went with you to the chariot? And you said thus and so, and you got this stuff. It's not time to collect money and all this kind of stuff. See, the prophet, his heart was pure. He wasn't doing it for money or monetary gain or accolade of man or the blessings of man, but he was doing it for God. And he said to Gehazi, what Naaman had will stay with you for the rest of your life, and you're going to die that way. We need discernment to help us in life. And then the last one I wanted to mention is, we're not going to read all this as well, just mention it. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 6. In the time when the church was growing, this was very crucial at the time when the church was just in the infancy. This church was not a full-grown church. Everybody was growing. Ministry gifts were growing. Peter didn't know everything about church planting. Paul didn't know. All these guys didn't know everything about the church. We see when you read them, that's why Peter had trouble. He didn't understand everything. Paul didn't understand everything. We see them in their infancy, in their growth. And so they were selling off stuff and building the church. And so people were selling off stuff. And there's a man by the name of Ananias. Peter said to Ananias, why has, this is Acts 5:3. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land while remaining in not your own hand? After that was sold, was not in your own power? He was not, thou hast conceived this thing in your heart, he says to him. You not lied to men, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Great fear came upon all those who heard these things. That was very significant that great fear came upon them because God wanted them to know, hey, you can't be messing with the church. I'm doing something over here. Sometimes God has to get rid of some things around. Amen? I remember one time it really astounded me. I was sitting in Mac Hammond's church. And you can edit this after. Mac Hammond said this, you know. He says, you know, there's some husbands and wives. Some husbands are holding back some of the women. And some women are holding back the wives. If God's calling you to the ministry, the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke, and he's going to set you free from that. That scared me. And we have to understand that God is not going to forfeit someone's ministry if he's called them to a worldwide ministry just because you didn't want to go with your husband. So we have to understand these things. I mean, I might not understand that right now, but God has a plan. I mean, this is a little bit of salt for you to take tonight. You need to understand it and understand the things of God. Now, I'm not telling people that, you know, God has to work things out in his own way. I'm not advocating anything of divorce and stuff like that. God hates it. But, you know, understand this, that, you know, if God has a plan for people, he has a way. Like, some people want to stop God. They have wrong motives. And God had to stop this man and stop that woman. The woman came in afterwards and said, you know, did you sold this for so much? The woman said, yeah. And she said, you know, the men, the feet of the men that buried your husband are coming through the door right now. And she fell dead. That's a little scary. I remember Lester Summerall. Thank God we had this man was a great man of God, great missionary. And we sat with him and had dinner when we way back then and took a picture with him, and I lost my camera. And the one picture I really wanted, I'm so so mad about that. But anyway, Lester Sumrall, he was a great man of God. I mean, he did wonderful things. So there was an attack on his life when he was preaching. And God gave him a scripture from Isaiah. He said, "You're coming against me." He said, "You're going to fall dead next Sunday," and the guy fell dead. Brother Hagin, the same thing. And when he was praying for certain people, and so a man started spreading rumors that Brother Hagin was handling women's breasts as he's praying for the people. And Brother Hagin says, "That guy, it will fall dead such and such," and he fell dead. Said the day that he said it would, by next Sunday. Now this is the thing, you know, we need the gifts of the Spirit to manifest, not to kill people, but to discern different things. you understand what I'm saying? So I don't want to be misunderstood. I know a lot of things that I don't like to say because, you know, it's controversial, and this was controversial, some of the things I said tonight. So don't run with it and say this happened. We're not going to sell this tape tonight. In fact, we might not even go to tape, to television. I got a call from last week because someone was mad at me, and they were sort of mad at me. It seemed like they were mad at me, saying that I said that, you know, Jesus didn't lay hands on every sick person. And I said charismatics tend to want to lay hands on everybody if they're sick. And they prematurely lay hands on people because sometimes not everybody's ready for the laying on of hands. Because you got to prepare them hearts to be able to receive enough faith to receive laying on of hands. And what laying on of hands is all about. I said, laying on of hands is not the all when it comes to healing. If you study the life of Jesus, sometimes he said, just go home. He didn't lay hands on people. Just go home. Your son's healed. Your daughter's healed. Your servant's healed. Just go home. People with the sores, lepers. They said, "Hey, Jesus, have mercy." He said, "Go your way, you're healed." He didn't lay hands on every one of them. And so we see this, that Jesus didn't always have to lay hands on everybody. I was just saying that the best way to be healed is to believe the word yourself. I said, this is the word of faith. This is how we operate the word of faith, is to believe God ourselves. When Jesus said go out into the world, he didn't say go out to every church and go out to the church. He said go out to the world. People who have covenant should know their rights. If we know our covenant, we should know. Say, thank God it's in the word. Thank God. Amen. But I said, if you lay hands on me, I'll receive it. Go ahead, lay hands on me. Pray for me. But I don't have to go around searching for all that stuff. But I'm just trying to say, like, we need to learn how to stand on our own at times. Now, Please don't misunderstand me. I didn't say don't lay hands on people, don't ever pray for people. Let's pray for one another. Yes, let's go ahead and join hands. But don't live always that way every week. We might need some help once in a while. Thank God for that. Amen. I think I'll just lay hands on myself tonight too. I might need. Let's go ahead and close. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you tonight for giving us discernment. And we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Let's go ahead and thank him for the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go ahead and trust God that this discernment will happen in our own lives. And let's trust God that this will happen in our church, that we'll see the moving of the Spirit. Amen? And it'll help us, not destroy us. Glory to God. Father, we praise you. We want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for his moving. Thank you for the revelation of our own hearts, of our own intentions, our motives. Help us to know. Help us to see that. And we will do that. We will begin to evaluate our own lives and motives of our own hearts. We want to thank you for your goodness, for the Spirit of God tonight in our lives. We thank you for this opportunity to sit in your presence with the Word of God, that we could learn and grow and achieve what we need to achieve for God. Thank you, Lord. We just lay our lives before you and thank you. And Lord, we want to pray for everyone that's sick in here right now. We're going to speak life over them right now. I want to say, begin to believe with me. Father, if there's anyone that's sick in body, if they got a flu and virus or any kind of a fever, any kind of blood disorder, anything that's not functioning, anything that's not happening that should be happening in their heart, in their lungs, in their ears, in their eyes, in their feet. We're speaking to those areas right now in the name of Jesus. We command healing power to go there now, to be healed according to Isaiah 53:4-5 and Matthew 8:17, that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses and diseases. And by his stripes, we command you to be healed right now in Jesus' name. If anybody has any mental health situations that's causing them to feel low, we rebuke anything that's causing them to be low. We command you to be happy. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, Koshindirima, Santa Karama, Soto, Lelimikishindi, Soto Kuroboshiti. Thank you, Lord, Moshikilima, Santa Karama, Satiki. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge, for revelation knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to know if anybody here that we prayed for the sick, if there's someone here that's experiencing healing in their body, anybody right now that's healing, but I want to just confirm that right now. Anybody? You have something going on in your body right now? Anything going on in your body? One person back there? Anybody else? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Anything going on in your heart, in your body? Say, well, I can't see my blood vessels. But you could know in your spirit that something's going on in there. Glory to God. Thank you. Father, we rebuke every foul spirit that's causing people to err in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Leave in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say, I'm healed. I'm free. Hallelujah. Lord of God, say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be blessing. Say, I'm rich. I'm strong. Hallelujah. Lord of God, amen. We'll go ahead and dismiss you. Dismiss yourself. Thank you, Lord. Amen.